KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Adrian Johnson joins us from the Fellowship of Performing Arts, where she works on development there for some time. But Adrian, thank you for taking the time to come and let us know more about the Fellowship of Performing Arts.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, some of our listeners may remember last year we spent some time visiting with Max McLean about news about FPA, and I forget at that time if the fact that the Fellowship of Performing Arts was returning to Pope Joy Hall in Albuquerque with the Screwtape Letters. That'll be happening in April. We'll get you more details about that as our conversation continues. But Adrian, for those really not familiar with the Fellowship for Performing Arts, and for sake of shortening our time or getting more in, I guess, FPA from here on, FPA, those not familiar, tell them, you know, maybe as much as you might know about the genesis of the organization and how it's grown and some of the things happening there now.
Yeah, absolutely. So FPA, Fellowship for Performing Arts, and you can learn more at fpatheater.com. It's a nonprofit. It was started over 30 years ago by Max McLean, an award-winning actor and director. And in fact, many people have probably heard Max, not heard of him, but actually heard him read the Bible on Bible Gateway or the YouVersion Bible app. If you listen to the NIV or ESV, and I think even the New King James versions on those different platforms, you'll hear Max read the Bible. You can also listen to it at our own website, which is listenersbible.com. But Max, who is a, you know, London-trained actor, and then came to Christ, wanted to be at the crossroads of theater and culture and faith. And so no one ever gave him the memo that actors were not supposed to be Christians. So
right.
He has been infusing his faith with art, with performing arts, with theatrical productions, and now film for over 30 years. And that is what FPA does. We are a nonprofit. We produce film and theater from a Christian worldview for a religiously diverse audience.
Yeah, and a lot of different projects, many related to C.S. Lewis. Now, you and I were talking off the air, of course, as we mentioned, it'll be April 19th at Pope Joy Hall, and you can actually find information about that as well as, I think, yeah, you can get tickets to the event. You mentioned fpatheater.com, actually, when I brought it up, I noticed, oh, theater spelled, I guess, is that the English spelling? But I put it in the other way just in case. And I'm for those trying to maybe figure that out, just put in fpatheater.com. You'll get there. But
that's
right. on the top of the page, you'll see shows and tickets. Albuquerque is listed. Click there. And there's a video you can watch. It's 3 p.m. on Sunday, April 19th. Mark that on your calendar. I will. Let me testify. May I, Adrian?
Please do. I would love to hear.
I went to go see Screwtape a few years ago in Santa Fe at the Lensic Theater, which is a beautiful theater just off the plaza in Santa Fe. Let me tell you, the set, the acting, and you know, I mean, of course, we're going back to the writing of C.S. Lewis, so I can tell you it's well written. How far does it deviate at all from I'm assuming it's a screenplay.
Well, it's very, very true to the book. It was adapted. For those who don't know what The Screwtape Letters is, as you mentioned, it is a book written by C.S. Lewis, written back in the 1940s, but it is still extremely relevant today. And it's essentially the story of a high-ranking demon official in the underworld who is coaching his young nephew, who is a junior tempter, a young devil, about how to properly tempt and torment a human patient. So it's sort of that idea of, you know, the little devil that's on your shoulder and whispering in your ear, that is actually happening, that this is a, you know, fictional depiction of that idea. And there are, in the book, it's letters from Screwtape to his nephew Wormwood. And so the actual, if you were to listen to the audio recording of the entire book, I think it's 6 hours, but we didn't think people would want to watch a play for 6 hours. So we did abbreviate it for the purposes of the theatrical performance, which is about a 90-minute show with no intermission. And it's very true to the book. It's an abbreviated version, but it is almost word for word the words of C.S. Lewis.
Yes. And as I mentioned before, other works from FPA have found their way out there. Not all, several C.S. Lewis, connected, but not all. Are there works,
yes,
from FPA?
In terms of the works that FPA has done, we've done many theatrical productions over the years, including The Great Divorce, which is another C.S. Lewis book. We have done Paradise Lost. We have done C.S. Lewis on Stage, The Most Reluctant Convert, which is the story of Lewis's conversion story, coming to faith story. We also have C.S. Lewis on Stage, Further Up and Further In. We have done, we also did Martin Luther on Trial, which was a play about Martin Luther and the Reformation. So all of our plays, really, the way we pick our material is that it must be, first and foremost, you know, from a Christian worldview, but we really do strive to engage the audience in highly intellectual, thought-provoking material. We want our work to appeal to believers and non-believers alike. If you were to invite, this is also why we don't typically perform in churches. You know, we perform in the great theatrical venues around the country. We do bring our performances to college campuses. That is an initiative that we have. Those performances are supported by donors by making tax-deductible donations to support our work. We offer discounted tickets to students so that they can experience these theatrical performances. And again, it makes it a lot more approachable. It sparks curiosity. It sparks imagination. Some students may not want to go to a church to see a show or a sermon, you know, that is about the Bible, but have them come to a theater and watch a very artistic depiction of C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters or The Great Divorce or, C.S. Lewis, this intellectual former atheist, talking about his thought process. It's a lot more approachable for some young people or for anyone. That is what we really strive to do with our work, is engage people on an intellectual level, spark their imagination, spark their curiosity, and move them, by interacting with this kind of artistic quality work.
Yeah, I think that's really well said, Adrian. And as far as, you know, the quality, here's what I'm getting from what I've seen from FPA. The Word of God tells us to do all things essentially that it would bring glory to God. And when it comes to theater, or the movie, you know, whether movie theater or live theater, the Christian community that is producing things like FPA is, they should be setting the standard. If we're doing our very best to glorify the Lord, and I really do believe that is, you know, I don't know if that's a mantra at all in FPA, but it sure comes across as, you know, just by the product that's delivered. I know you kind of hit that home, but I want to hit it home too. If you have friends that are very critical of good theater, take them to go see this in April. Agreed?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for saying that, because it is truly a tenet of our work. It's part of our mission, not just to create film and theater from a Christian worldview, but to do it at an extremely high standard of artistic excellence, because we think that is how you engage a religiously diverse audience.
Yeah. So I before we go to a break, and I want to tease this too, Adrian, you have a very engaging testimony to share. I haven't heard all of it. I'm looking forward to hearing more of it.
I can't wait to tell you all about it.
We're going to do that in our next segment, but I do want to draw the listener back to fpatheater.com. At the top of the page, shows and tickets. Drop down to Albuquerque. Click that. There's a video to watch, more information. Make plans now, you know, and actually, not only make plans, prayerfully consider, and you mentioned this, Adrian, who to bring to this, lives can be changed. And the truth is, you know, we can see transformation, through the viewing of this. We can also, see some encouragement, you know, just revisiting some things that as Christians we may not have considered in some time. So we'd encourage you to do that. Adrian, can you stay with us through the break?
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and come back and hear more from Adrian with the Fellowship of Fellowship for Performing Arts after this on ABQ Connect.
This is ABQ Connect.
We continue our conversation with Adrian Johnson. She is the director of development with the Fellowship for Performing Arts. In the first part of our conversation, we were actually directing you to the website. We'll continue to do that. fpatheater.com. And then under shows and tickets at the top, drop down, you'll find Albuquerque. There is a date that you want to mark on your calendar, April 19th at 3 p.m. Pope Joey Hall, a great venue. Adrian, I don't know if you've been there. I've been there several times, and I know it's been a few years, but I know they had to do some work on the theater just to fit Phantom of the Opera years ago. But it is a fantastic venue. And I don't, you know, I don't know if you make those, I mean, that's a big tour, you know, you're busy out raising money for the nonprofit. Really looking forward to having FPA show up here in Albuquerque.
I haven't been to that theater in Albuquerque, but we are in the middle of a national tour. We're going all over the country with this show. I go to as many performances as I can while traveling around and meeting our patrons, meeting our donors who support our work, as we are a nonprofit that produces film and theater from a Christian worldview for a non-Christian and religiously diverse audience. But we're so excited that we're coming to Albuquerque. I can't wait for the Screwtape Letters to be there.
Yeah, and I'm not going to go into the exact number because I want people to go to the website. I don't want them to hear it. Listen, it's an affordable, very affordable performance. And group sales are available as well. I'm assuming with group sales, you may find a lower price. Also for those under 30, you'll find a special offer as well. Go and check that out at the website at fpatheater.com. So Adrian, we teased in our first segment that we would get to your testimony And I'll throw it to you for as much or as little as you'd like to share, and how eventually it you know, was a path that brought you to come on staff with FPA.
That's exactly right. Yes. Well, the short version of the story is that I was a suicidal atheist that was transformed by Jesus after I saw Fellowship for Performing Arts production of The Screwtape Letters, the very play that is coming to Albuquerque. Before that, I was raised by loving parents in Southern California. We were a secular Jewish family. We went to synagogue when I was a child, but I rejected it at a very young age because I thought it was all make-believe and fairy tales, and I didn't want to go to temple, to synagogue anymore. And because it wasn't really a spiritual or religious part of our lives, it was really just more of a cultural thing, a community thing, a tradition thing, we stopped going. And I didn't step foot back in a synagogue for 20 years. I was a very adamant atheist for most of my life. I was a pretty wild child trying to fill this empty hole in my heart with all kinds of things, trying to fill that void, getting attention and approval and affirmation from other people, you know, wanting to be the prettiest, wanting to be the smartest, wanting the most attention, wanting to be loved by other people. And I just kept going down those different routes, and it would work a little bit until it wouldn't. And so then I just kind of kept going down that path for many, many years. As a college student, I was a loud and proud atheist. I was engaging in a lot of, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I was just living that kind of lifestyle, thinking that it was fun and free and happy. And at times it felt like it was, until it didn't. And living that way really, really did a number on me. I woke up in my 20s depressed. I felt like life was meaningless. I felt like nothing I did made me feel better. I didn't know what to do because I didn't have God. And all the things that I had been trying for all these years led me nowhere. And so I pretty much hit rock bottom and needed to try something different. I crawled in on my hands and knees to self-help groups, people struggling with addiction, people wanting to go through the process of recovery. And they told me in those groups that I had to get some kind of higher power, that I had to get some kind of spiritual practice. But as an atheist, that was very, very uncomfortable. I really didn't want to do it. I couldn't even bring myself to pray out loud when I was all alone in my car by myself or in my apartment. I was just too embarrassed. It felt so silly. But my mentor, my sponsor, the person who was helping me, said, okay, then just say this out loud. I'm all alone and there's no one here, and I'm only doing this because my sponsor told me to. And that is how my prayer life began some 15 years ago.
Wow. God bless that sponsor.
Amen. Amen. And what's amazing is that she wasn't even a Christian. I mean, this was Los Angeles, 2011. Everything was very new age. You know, when I was in these recovery groups, I very reluctantly, but willingly, because I was in so much pain and I was so desperate, I was willing to just follow direction and do whatever I was told. So when I was told to meditate, you know, and sit in silence, I did that. When I was told to practice or at least try, you know, going back to synagogue, Buddhist chanting, Kundalini yoga, Sufi healings, I mean, I was willing to just sort of try anything and everything.
You were searching. Sounds like you were really searching.
I was absolutely searching because let me tell you, during that time, it was helping. I was still in incredible amounts of pain. This healing process took several years for me, but I did see the benefit of this work, of this spiritual stuff that I was doing. And I went from being a total atheist to being an agnostic and believing that there was at least some kind of universal life force that connects all sentient and non-sentient beings, you know, some kind of higher power. I was not yet ready for an all-knowing, all-loving, an all-knowing, all-loving creator. I wasn't there. But I was okay with a universal life force. But I kept doing all those things. I was going to synagogue. I was doing all of the meditation. I was doing all these new age spiritual practices. And it was helping, but it wasn't it. You know, I kept seeking and seeking and seeking. And I saw these people that I was now friends with from these recovery groups and stuff. And they were seeking for years. You know, they'd go to these different shamans, they'd go to different retreats and workshops and all these things. And I was like, I was into it, but also I didn't want to just be a seeker forever. I didn't want to just be a spiritual seeker. I wanted to be a spiritual finder. And that was when a friend of mine invited me to see a play called The Screwtape Letters. This was back in 2012. This was 14 years ago. I had no idea what it was, but we got that group sales ticket offer. She got, you know, she said, I'm getting together a group of people. There's discounted tickets. You know, do you want to come on a Sunday afternoon and go see this play? And I said, sure. Now, had the play been the story of Jesus or the story of David or this thing from the Bible, I probably would have passed. I probably would have said, no thanks, not interested. But because I didn't know what it was, I said, sure. So I went to this theater. And I'm telling you, it completely blew me away. I mean, I was just so moved, so convicted that I had to at least consider looking into Christianity as an option, even though it made me incredibly uncomfortable as a former atheist, secular Jew. You know, I was willing to be a Buddhist or a Sufi before I would actually consider being a Christian, but I had to at least look at it. And there was something that just kept pulling me toward it. I actually reached out to FPA after I saw the play and let them know what an impact it had on me. God was so gracious in the way that he put all of these different people in my path. I started reading Mere Christianity. I started going to church with some friends. I was having conversations with people. And Max McLean, our founder and artistic director at FPA, reached out to me and became a spiritual mentor of mine. He would check in on me. He would see how I was doing. He introduced me to Tim Keller, who I had never heard of course, as, you know, an atheist, secular Jew. But I started listening to Tim Keller sermons. He had a huge impact on my spiritual development. Max McLean was a friend and a mentor for years, and no one told him to do that. He did not have to do that. It wasn't part of his job. He just did it because he truly loves the Lord. And that's why he does everything that he does at FPA. And, you know, we stayed in touch for many years as I had an entire career working in trusts, estates, and tax as a paralegal at a top LA law firm. I got my master's in professional writing from the University of Southern California. I went on to work at multiple nonprofits in leadership roles. And it was like when FPA needed a director of development, I interviewed for the position just like anyone else. They put me through the ringer, let me tell you. It was a national search. And after, you know, talking to my references and multiple rounds of interviews, God really brought this whole thing together. I mean, he's been working on it for years, and now I am absolutely thrilled to be on staff for the organization that helped bring me to Jesus.
Well, and your enthusiasm for FPA is a good reason why development's a great place to be. But what a testimony. And, you know, with the time, short amount of time we have left, you know, I think in hearing your story, I think I can almost hear the body of Christ listening and saying, okay, tell me how to talk to my atheist friend. Okay, now I'm going to throw that to you. However, I have to imagine, you know, we hear testimonies all the time and they're all different, and God works his way. And I've said on this show more than once, it's the Spirit who convicts the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. And, you know, one of my favorite verses, I say it's one of my favorite Christmas verses, although it's not in the book of Luke, it's in Galatians chapter 4:4-5. I won't go through all of it, but it says there, starting in verse 4, and I'm paraphrasing, I'm doing the best I can. So when the perfect time came, God sent his son. God's timing is perfect. And what I hear in your testimony is, you know, he knew what was happening. He knew what you're going to go see. He knew what you're going to hear. He knew how it would affect you. But what would you say to someone who has that atheist loved one, acquaintance, enemy? How would you encourage them?
That's such a great question. First of all, let me tell you that it's never too late. God can do anything. And you're right. God's timing is perfect. If God can transform me, the most cynical, angry atheist, into a follower of Christ, he can do it for anyone. But I also have to tell you that it was a very long process. I mean, when I was in my youth, when I was in my 20s, when I was a college student, and when I was living a very, very wayward lifestyle throughout all of my 20s, people, it's not like I never heard the name Jesus before. I mean, I even had people try to say things to me about, you know, well, have you met Jesus? Do you know Jesus? I love Jesus. And the rage that would swell within my chest, within my spirit. I mean, I was so antagonistic. So I also have to say, I have a huge heart for the atheist and the skeptic and the cynic, because that's who I am. That's where I come from. And I love those people. And I love being in conversation with them now. And the way that I do it, I don't try to bash them over the head. I don't try to convince them of anything. All I do is love them, ask questions, and share myself, share my story, share my experience, because I can't speak for anyone else, but let me tell you what Jesus did for me. Let me tell you why I am so grateful that I am not the master of my own life. I tried that way for a long time. I tried to be in control, and it got me nowhere. It got me misery. And now I'm not in control. I don't have to be in control. What a relief. Thank God I have a savior, you know, and I speak from myself. I speak from my experience, and I love on people. I just love people, and I ask questions, and I share my story.
I love that. And I think, you know, whether an atheist you're speaking with, or I think just in general, what you just said is a great model for sharing our faith. Adrian Johnson, Director of Development with Fellowship for the Performing Arts, so much appreciate your time. I want to draw the listener back to the website at fpatheater.com. Top of the page, shows and tickets. Find the Albuquerque venue and date on the list there. Just click on Albuquerque. You'll find it's April 19th at Pope Joy Hall. Great venue, great price. And go find out more at the website at fpatheater.com. Adrian, I've taken a lot of your time and so much appreciate it.
Thank you so much. This is such a pleasure. Thank you.
All right. And thank you for listening to ABQ Connect.